live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Emma Ryan with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up this evening, the Agriculture Minister says turkey will thankfully still be on the menu for families this Christmas following avian flu fears. Farmers in Ireland should be able to benefit from excess energy produced from solar panels on their farm buildings. Unless crime is happening in Garda stations in Donegal, it won't be detected. That's according to Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle. And Donegal company Mulrines has announced a significant expansion in Sion Mills. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up after the break. But first, in news, the Agriculture Minister says turkey will thankfully still be on the menu for families this Christmas. There had been fears that supplies would be impacted after two outbreaks of avian flu were confirmed in flocks last month. However, the Department of Agriculture now says no new cases have been reported since and its 3-kilometre protection zone in County Monaghan has been lifted. Minister Charlie McConnellogue says people should expect a top quality turkey on plates this Christmas.
Thankfully, I can report that there will be turkeys for Christmas, thanks to the many farmers, poultry farmers we have across this country, and the massive effort they've made over the course of the last number of months, and particularly the last number of weeks, in terms of taking biosecurity measures to keep flocks safe. It was a big objective of theirs to ensure that they could provide the service that they provide every year, and ensuring that there would be a top quality turkey on families' dinners at plates right across the country.
Farmers in Ireland should be able to benefit from excess energy produced from solar panels on their farm buildings. That's according to Midlands Northwest MEP Colin Markey, who was speaking in European Parliament in Strasbourg. He was commenting on EU rules that prevent farmers from selling surplus energy to the national grid if it comes from certain grant-aided solar panels. Mr. Markey says moves are underway to get those rules changed. He believes other options are available.
There's the option of installing storage that you can use it at a time when there's a greater power demand, or you've no other option but to dump it, which seems madness. There's power available that could be supplied onto the grid at key times, and instead, because of regulation, it's been dumped off the system.
Police are currently attending the scene of a collision on a road close to the Derry-Donegal border. A two-vehicle collision occurred earlier today in the area of Ballyarnet Derry, just off the border to Donegal at Muff. The road is closed and police remain at the scene. Donegal company Mulrines has announced a significant expansion in Sion Mills with the creation of 54 new jobs. The drinks company has been operating on a small scale at the former Herdsman site in Sion Mills for the past number of months. Mulrines has purchased 22 acres of the site and is currently renovating existing buildings to create a large-scale manufacturing facility. Support is being provided by InvestNI. West Rowan MLA Daniel McCrossan says this is a major boost for the locality.
We'll go for it now. So West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan, today is a great day for Sion Mills and indeed Mulrines there with an announcement from InvestNI.
Absolutely. Many of them will be following this story over the course of the last number of months and indeed the year will know that I, as MLA for the constituency, have been working very closely with Mulrines to ensure that the investment in Sion Mills was secured at the old Herdman site. It's an important historical site for the area, and Mulrines is a very large employer. They employ people from Sion Mills and their Balmafay factory and also the wider Strabane and Tyrone area, and have been a very good employer and provided a first-class service for well over 100 years. A fantastic company, and I'm delighted that they are in Sion Mills.
And indeed as well, it's a great example of how this cross-border connection between Donegal and Tyrone work.
Absolutely. And Mulrines are very, very keen to expand on that and have done a huge amount of work in ensuring they secured the site and ultimately will be investing very heavily in the site, expanding their drinks and liquid food manufacturing facility at Sion Mills. It's an extremely exciting time. It's an exciting time for the people of the area. It's an exciting time Full Moraines. And indeed for me as a local representative, job creation and investment in this area is so critical. And Pete Mulrain and his team at Mulrain's have been leading from the front and ensuring that this investment was secured and these jobs ultimately created in this area. A fantastic company. I can't underestimate the importance of it for this area and the huge impact it will have on the local economy and providing good quality jobs for people here in West Tyrone.
Unless crime is happening in Garda stations in Donegal, then it won't be detected. That's what Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle told the Dáil during statements on the appropriation bill. He says the government has failed to deliver for the people of Donegal. Among a number of issues highlighted, Deputy Pringle spoke of how in the southwest of the county, Gardaí are not available until 7 p.m. with no squad car available to Gardaí in Killybegs or Glenties. He also pointed out that 16 officers have been removed from the Donegal Drugs Unit. Deputy Pringle says while representations are being made for more resources for the county, they are not being delivered.
Killybegs and the surrounding areas are also experiencing a severe lack of Gardaí and Garda vehicles. It is important that Gardaí are around and available in our rural communities, and much of Donegal has been let down in this aspect. Quite often, Gardaí are not available in the southwest area until 7 p.m, and when they are on duty, there are only two Gardaí covering a large area between Killybegs, Kilcar, Ardrah and Glenties, where you have one guard on duty in Killybegs and one guard on duty in Glenties, and no squad car between the two of them. So basically, they can't go anywhere, can't do anything, and can't control. Chief Superintendent Terry McGinn recently outlined to the Donegal Joint Policing Committee how a lack of vehicles is proving to be a major obstacle for Gardaí in Donegal. She has made several applications to Garda HQ, however she is told that no cars will be purchased until the new year at the earliest. She said that the lack of cars is affecting the service, which is completely unacceptable. The Donegal Joint Policing Committee also recently heard of the removal of 16 Gardaí from the Donegal Divisional Drugs Unit. Despite the fact that drug crime is on the increase in the county, the Gardaí serving in the drugs unit dropped from 21 to 5 within a year, and the unit has also been left without an unmarked car as well, so they can't get around either. So unless crime is happening in the barracks, it won't be detected anywhere. Superintendent McGinn has said that the lack of resources is making responding to emergency calls and carrying out drug operations very difficult. This government has failed to deliver for the people in Donegal in such areas such as these time and time again.
19 counties are soon to be under a status orange, yellow, low temperature and low ice warning for the whole night. Mid-Éireann has also issued a second orange level alert for 25 counties for everywhere except for Donegal for tomorrow night. Those are added to the status yellow low temperatures warnings that remains in place until Friday afternoon. A Donegal deputy says Donegal is a perfect storm of housing crisis. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin was speaking last night during a confidence vote in Housing Minister Dara O'Brien, which he survived with 86 supporters to 63 against, with one absentation. Speaking during last night's debate, Deputy McLaughlin says Minister O'Brien betrayed defective block homeowners particularly.
So what we have in Donegal is a perfect storm. We have all the elements of the housing crisis in the rest of the state and this defective block crisis. Now, Minister, you know very well that these families had to have an uprising after the disgraceful and discredited 90-10 scheme. The responsibility was on you and your government to deliver a scheme that gave them justice. These are traumatised families, people whose lives have been destroyed, people who are victims of the scandalous system of regulation of the construction industry in this country. And I'll never forget, Minister, the imagery of the campaigners last July in that public gallery. They were absolutely distraught and they were betrayed. They'd engaged in good faith with the government to arrive at a scheme that was just and fair, to give 100% redress. They had proposals that would cost the government nothing, cost the state nothing, that made absolute sense. 80 amendments, but you rammed the legislation through because you said it was urgent to have a scheme that people could work with. And here we are now, almost at Christmas, and we still don't have a scheme. It's still not in place. What we have, though, is the spectacle of a government senator with absolutely outrageous comments in the other house last week, attacking the families, the victims, the traumatised families, talking about a good scheme that nobody believes in Donegal. And it's no wonder when you heard his comments that you see the failure of government. So to summarise, it's not just a matter of yourself, Minister. I have no confidence in Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil to do what's right by our people when it comes to housing based on lived experience.
Meanwhile, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue expressed his confidence in the Housing Minister Dara O'Brien. Minister McConnellogue labelled a motion of no confidence in the Housing Minister brought forward by People Before Profit as a political stunt. Minister McConnellogue says those in opposition offer no solution.
All you have done is you've defined the problems which we are working to solve in government. You offered no solutions. Deputy MacDonald, in her contribution, pointed to the importance of, says she, the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Minister for Housing and Minister for Finance. Of course, Sinn Féin have had the Minister for Housing and the Minister for Finance in Northern Ireland up until the government fell there a month ago. What did that deliver? Well, last year in Northern Ireland, the average price of your average home in Northern Ireland last year was a Sinn Féin Housing Minister and Finance Minister, very important according to Deputy MacDonald. The average prices of a house in Northern Ireland last year rose by £18,000 sterling, 12% increase, with a Sinn Féin Housing Minister and a Sinn Féin Minister for Finance. Now, if you're looking to them, therefore, to deliver well, their track record wouldn't speak very well in that regard.
It's emerged that those in CHO1 area are the only users of the HSE-run day services in the entire country that are subject to transport charges. People with disabilities travelling to such centres are charged €4 per trip or €20 per week. Senator Robbie Gallagher says the HSE has created an inequality in the CHO1 area. He has called for the Minister of State with responsibility for disability to provide an update on the removal of the transport charges immediately.
Two persons, so they're almost paying €2,000 per annum, which is a huge amount of money. It would be heartbreaking if families were to lose out or to suffer a reduced level of service because of these costs. As you know, Minister, the charges have been levied because the routes involved are deemed to be closed routes or exclusive routes. So people who are using an open route can use their free travel pass, for example, on Bus Éireann. Unfortunately, this does not apply to this particular service. The problem with the CHO1 area is that the routes are deemed to be closed routes. The service is top class, but unfortunately, many families simply cannot afford it. I do fully accept that the HSE decision to charge is to ensure that there will be a service in the first place. However, the introduction of this charge to ensure that no one would lose out on a service, the HSE has created an inequality in the CHO1 area. And that is unfair on the people of Monaghan, Cavan, Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim.
In responding, Minister Anne Rabbitt says she hopes a solution will be forthcoming in the near future. It's now 12 minutes past five, time for a short break, but we'll be back with more right after these.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy's Sports Letterkenny. For the perfect leisure wear present this Christmas, check out the Donegal GAA Peak Range, in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie, with something for all the family.
Welcome back to Highland Radio News. It's over to Oisin Kelly for sports.
Thanks, Emma. We're going to start with some League of Ireland football news, and Keith Cowan is back at Finn Harps and will captain the club in next season's first division campaign. The Armelton man says it was too good an opportunity to turn down when new manager Dave Rogers contacted him. Cowan made over 240 appearances up until his departure at the end of the 2019 season. He told me a short time ago he's excited to be back at Harps under the new boss.
With the appointment of Dave Rogers coming in, you know, it definitely got me interested in maybe coming back to Balva Fey. Obviously, a man of his experience and, you know, things that he's done in the game in this country, I suppose, and, you know, the league that he's won and his experience that he has now as a manager and a coach. Somebody that I can still learn a lot from. So it was a great, I suppose, phone call to get when he told me that he was interested, and then straight away once I spoke to him, like, his enthusiasm for the club straight away and for football and, you know, what he wants to do here, it was just too good of an opportunity to turn down.
Yeah. Did you think your chance of maybe returning to Harps or ever playing for the club again had gone, Keith?
I suppose I did probably last year, you know, leaving Harps a couple of years ago now, and then, you know, a spell with Glentoran and in Dungannon, and then last year going to Drogheda, I kind of maybe thought that, you know, the chance of coming back here. But I suppose once they've got the job, and, you know, once the new management team came in, and I say what he's looking to do and the way that he's looking to progress the club, it's just something that I can't wait to be a part of.
And there's more from Keith Cowan available in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Elsewhere, football matters. There's a place in Sunday's World Cup final up for grabs tonight, with the prize being a tie against Argentina on offer. France and Morocco will battle it out this evening to see who will progress through to go on the South American side. The second semi-final in Qatar gets underway at 7 o'clock this evening. In Gaelic Games, a new chairman will be elected at the Donegal Convention this evening in the Mount Errigal Hotel. Fergus McGee of St Eunan's and Paul McGonigal from the Buncrana Club are the two nominees set to battle for the job. A new PRO will also be elected, while Michael McGeehan faces opposition from Gary Boyle for the coaching officer's role. Seven men will go for the two spots as delegates to the Ulster Council, where there will also be contests for the Central Council officer and delegate to Ulster Convention and National Congress. A new grandparent rule under boundaries is among a number of motions, as is a return to the even underage structure. The convention gets up and running tonight at 7 o'clock. ATU Donegal being handed a home tie in the opening round of the Sigerson Cup. Maxi Kearns side will meet DCU next month, with the game to be played on the 10th or 11th of January. The winners progress in one side of the draw, with the losers going into a qualifying system. Some of the other standout ties sees ATU Sligo away to MTU Kerry. There's an all-Ulster tie in the opening round, with Queen's up against University Ulster. And further south, there's an all-Munster battle with UCC taking on UL. In the McCrory Cup this afternoon, St Eunan's College of Letterkenny played their final game in the competition. In Garvahy, the Letterkenny side went down 1-8 to 1-3 to St Michael's of Enniskillen. Brian Drum scored the St Eunan's goal, while Dahi Gilday hit 3 points. In rugby, Ulster say they're taking every possible step to stage Saturday's Champions Cup game against La Rochelle. The Kingspan Stadium pitch in Belfast has been frozen, and the club are bringing in heaters in an attempt to thaw out the pitch. There is the prospect of the match being switched to the RDS in Dublin. Snooker-wise, County Antrim's Mark Allen's back in action tonight. He's taking on Ding Jiwei in the last 32 of the English Open. And finally, in golf, the KBMG Irish Women's Open will take place 3 weeks earlier in the calendar next year. It's been penciled in for August 31st to September 3rd. Once again, at the Drumlin Castle in County Clare, Cavan's Leona Maguire has already been confirmed as an entrant for the competition next year. There you go, Emma. That's your sport for today.
Thanks, Oisin. And a return to news. A new report by HICWA has found Ireland's health service is under unprecedented strain. Inspections of 7 emergency departments found the number of patients presenting to EDs is significantly higher than in previous years. Sean O'Regan has more.
The Health Information and Quality Authority carried out inspections of 7 emergency departments. Responding to the report, HICWA's Director of Healthcare Sean Egan says that the inspections continue to highlight overcrowding in emergency departments, which compromises the dignity and respect of patients and poses a risk to their health and safety. The health watchdog HICWA says more hospitals need to be urgently built in order to provide additional capacity, both acute and community. HICWA is also recommending a more effective approach to workforce planning to better anticipate and manage staff shortages, as well as more responsive leadership, governance and management arrangements.
And finally for this evening, the Ukrainian ambassador says she expects more refugees to arrive here in the coming weeks, as many are facing freezing conditions without any heat or electricity. But Larissa Gurescu says the embassy is going to post a message on their social media accounts warning those fleeing of the limited accommodation available in Ireland. She met with Integration Minister Roderick O'Gorman today to discuss the government's plans to accommodate refugees. Ambassador Gurescu says important infrastructure has been destroyed by Russian missile strikes.
I know that the government is facing challenges and other challenges with the accommodation, and Ukrainians continue coming to Ireland because of very cold winter. Many Ukrainians, millions of Ukrainians, live now without electricity, heating, water supplies.
This evening's weather, temperatures will reach a low as of minus 6 tonight. Temperatures at the coast will be around minus 1 to plus 1 degrees, remaining generally clear and dry with light northerly breezes. That's all for now. We'll have a news update again at 6 o'clock. But until then, good evening. Obituary notices for Wednesday evening, December 14th. The death has taken place of Bozina Gruzowska, Railway Court, Letterkenny. Reposing at the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest Mountain Top, Letterkenny, tomorrow from 2:30pm until 4pm, with removal to St Eunan's Cathedral for reception prayers at 4:30pm. Reposing overnight for 1pm Requiem Mass on Friday, followed by interment in the new Leck Cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed online at churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Billy Doheny, 17, Muckish Avenue, Letterkenny, formerly Ard O'Donnell. Reposing at the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest Mountain Top, Letterkenny, today from 6pm to 7pm and tomorrow from 4:30pm to 5:30pm, with removal to St Eunan's Cathedral for reception prayers at 6pm. Reposing overnight for 3pm Requiem Mass on Friday, which can be viewed online at churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in the family plot in Clonmel Cemetery. Family flowers only please. Donations, if wished, to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital. Care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director, Letterkenny. The death has occurred of Dennis Anthony Wallace, Cosh Laha, Guidor Road, Dunlow. His remains will be reposing in McGlynn's funeral home. Rosary at 8pm with removal afterwards to his mother's house, Cosh Laha. Funeral Mass on Friday at St Cronus Church, Dunlow at 12 noon with interment afterwards in Mahry Cemetery. The death has taken place of Willie Doherty, Umla, Carrigart. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning, going to the Church of St John the Baptist for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed live on Mava Parish Facebook page. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu if desired to Donegal MS and Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Family time please from 10pm until 11am. The death has taken place of Mary Lunny, Nee O'Donnell, Dominic Street, Dublin, and late of Bessborough Avenue, North Strand and County Donegal. Reposing at Carewin Funeral Home, Fairview Strand this evening with a gathering of family and friends until 7 o'clock. Removal tomorrow morning to St Agatha's Church, North William Street, arriving for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in Dean's Grange Cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on the St Agatha's Church webcam. The death has taken place of Reginald Reg Porter, Grange, Inch Island, reposing at his home. Removal from his home tomorrow morning at 10:15am to Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Inch, for Requiem Mass at 11am, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 11pm to 11am. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if desired to Beaumont Hospital, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Geraldine Stevenson, Nee Foley, 195, Lower Main Street, Strabane, and formerly of Bridge Street, Strabane, reposing at her home. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 9:20am for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 10am. Interment afterwards in the Sacred Heart Cemetery, Derry Road, Strabane. Family time please from 11pm to 11am. Funeral Mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.